Hey, this is Mike Miller from the Harmony Street Show. What are you doing Saturday, March 19th at 8 o'clock? If you live in Southern Florida, why don't you come on down to FAU, to the Carol and Barry Kay Performing Arts Auditorium in Boca Raton, Florida. Catch two Rock and Roll Hall of Fame members, Harry Johnson of the Flamingos and Shirley Alston Reeves of the Shirelles. Yes, that's the Flamingos, Shirley Alston Reeves and the Shirelles, along with Emil Stucchio and the Classics and the Mystics. And don't miss a very rare performance by pop icon and teen idol Bobby Rydell. Enjoy an evening with the legends, 50s and 60s rock and roll, as seen on PBS, our biggest pop rock and doo-wop show yet. Bobby Rydell singing Wild One, Volare, We Got Love, and Forget Him. The Carol and Barry Kay Performing Arts Auditorium, 777 Glades Road in Boca Raton, Florida, 8 p.m., March 19th, 2016. Tickets are on sale. Call 1-800-745-3000. Paulette and I will be there. You be there, too.
Ooh-pop-a-doo. How do you do? My name is the Gator with the heat of the big boss with the big hot sauce, Jerry Blavitt, and you know who you're listening to? My man, Mike Miller, ladies and gentlemen, the man who knows everything in the land with the music, the stories, and the sound on Harmony Street.
Hi, this is Billy Davis, Jr.
Hi, I'm Alan McCoo.
And you listen to our good friend, Mike Miller, on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Little Anthony Imperial, and you're listening to my good friend, Mike Miller, on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Bobby Rydell, and you're listening to my good friend, Mike Miller, on the Harmony Street Show.
Say some people long ago were searching for a different tune, a one that they can croon as only they can. They only have that rhythm, so started swaying to and fro. They didn't know just what to use, and this is how the blues really began. And the trees singing weird melodies, and they made that the start of the blues. And from a jail came a well of a down, a hearted frail, and they played that as a part. And then they sent out that news that that old Southland gave birth to the blues. Yeah.
From a whippoorwill high on a hill, they took a new note.
Yeah, they went and pushed it through a horn till it was worn into a new note. Send out that news that that old Southland gave birth to the blues. Yeah, now way down in Southland, they gave birth to the blues.
Hey, Mike, John Mathis.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm okay, thanks. It's Johnny Mathis, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
The Joker is me. There's always a Joker in the pack. There's always a lonely clown. The poor laughing fool falls on his back, and everyone laughs when he's down. There's always a funny man in the game, but he's only funny by mistake. Ah, but everyone laughs at him just the same. They don't see his lonely heart break. Oh, they don't care as long as there is a jester, just a fool, as foolish as he can be. There's always a joker, that's a rule, but fate deals a hand and I see the joker is me. Just a fool, as foolish as he can be. There's always a joker, that's a fool, but fate deals a hand and I see the joker is me. The joker is me.
Hi, this is Mike Miller, and you're here with me on the Harmony Street Show, and it's my pleasure to have as my guest, actor, singer, dancer, teen idol, pop icon, and survivor, Mr. Bobby Rydell. How you doing, Bobby?
Good, Mike. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. You know, there's so much that we could talk about, but I'm going to get right to the beginning. Of course, anybody that knows anything about Bobby Rydell knows that he was born in Philadelphia.
Correct.
As so many talented people were born, I mean, we could go through the list. Was there music in your family growing up?
No, none whatsoever. You know, I think my mother's parents, who, you know, of course, came from the old country, from Italy.
Right.
My grandfather used to be in, from what I recollect, an Italian vaudeville. So possibly that may be it, you know, where the connection is.
Well, all right. So, you know, somewhere in the genes. But as I understand it, your father took you to the Earl Theater where you actually saw Gene Krupa.
That's correct. Yeah, I think I was 5 years old, Mike.
Right. And you didn't know what Paradiddles and Flams were, but you know that you liked it.
No, but I learned that, you know, quite a number of years later, Paradiddles,
right.
Flamingos,
right.
You know,
right.
All of the 26 rudiments.
Yep, I know. I remember, you know, I was a Bronx kid, but my father moved us up to Westchester, and there was a guy that was the mayor of Ardsley. His name was Louis Zito, and supposedly he was Gene Krupa's manager when Gene moved to New York.
Really?
Yeah, as far as I know. And then my father moved us to Armonk. It was a little more upscale. When did you realize that you could really sing a good song? I mean, there had to be that time when you said, hey, you know what? I can really sing a whole song from start to finish and people really love it. When did that happen?
Well, you probably know this story too, Mike. You know, when my dad was overseas, after the war was over, he was drafted with a lot of fathers.
Right.
And he went overseas, and of course my mom and my dad, they wrote back and forth to one another. And I think I was about 3 years old, and my mom wrote back to my dad, the baby's always singing, the baby's always singing. And my father wrote back, he said, who knows, maybe one day we'll have a star in the family.
Uh-huh.
And if I had the talent within me whatsoever, my dad was the first one to see it. And when I was like 7, 8 years old, he used to take me around to clubs here in Philadelphia. and would ask the club owner, you know, can my son get up and sing and do a couple of, you know, impersonations, which
right.
I used to impersonate everybody I used to see on TV.
Wow.
Yada, yada, yada. You know, my dad took me around, and I think at like 7, 8 years old, I was a fairly decent singer. And as the years progressed, like, of course, I took vocal lessons, and then I had to stop vocal lessons uh-huh. because I was going through a vocal change.
Right.
And, you know, and that's anywhere from, like, 10 to, like, you know, 13 years old.
Right,
and,
right.
Yeah, and then you continue on again. So, you know, and then I went to various, you know, vocal coaches here in Philadelphia and New York City, a man
right.
by the name of Marty Lawrence.
I know who it is.
Yeah, I called him my professor. He was absolutely
wow.
brilliant,
wow.
really brilliant. And so I guess it, you know, to answer your question in a roundabout way,
right.
I guess I knew I was a fairly decent singer at a very early age.
Yeah, plus at 7 and 8, you don't know what stage fright is. You just go out and do what you have to do.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, you know, when I went on stage, you know, and I was like 7, 8 years old and
right.
people applauded, uh-huh. you know, and I said to my father, gee, all I have to do is this and they do that. You know, what a wonderful experience.
Right.
What
right.
a, you know, what a great feeling for sure.
I'm laughing because everybody that didn't go to Marty Lawrence went to Carlo Menotti.
Oh, well, sure.
Him?
Carlo Menotti was another one.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Carlo Menotti was another great vocal coach.
Right, right. So, Paul Whiteman, the TV Teen Club, 10 years old, and you became
correct.
A regular. That's an early start.
Anyway, I auditioned. What I auditioned to was Sammy Davis Jr. years ago had a record called Because of You, the old song Because of You.
Right.
Where one side he did actors doing singers and the other side singers doing actors.
Right.
So I did this, I did, at the audition, actors doing singers like James Cagney, Jimmy Stewart,
wow.
Humphrey Bogart, you know, Jerry Lewis, to
right.
the tune of Because of You.
Right.
And he liked me and I went on the show to do that, you know, and I won.
Because of you, there's a song in my heart. Because of you, my romance had its start. The moon and stars will say you're mine forever and never to part. I only live for your love and your
the Paul Whiteman TV Teen Club, and
right.
I became a regular for about a year and a half
wow.
on the show. So at about 11 and a half years old, the show went off the air, and I was out of work. I couldn't get a job.
I'm imagining you didn't have the pompadour then.
I didn't have the pompadour then, and I don't have it now.
See, everything comes full circle, you know.
Yeah, right. Yes, I got a nice little thing that I keep on my mantelpiece that travels along with me. Keep it in a little box, like Senor Wences, you know.
It doesn't.
Hello, you know that again.
It doesn't have a name.
It says hello to me, you know.
But it doesn't have a name.
No, there's no name. No.
I'm getting too personal. Well, you know.
No, that's okay, because sometimes I put it on my dog. My dog walks around with it, you know.
I love it. Now, you're going to be at FAU in Boca for Joe Marione's show, and that's going to be March 19th. It's the day after my birthday, and you're going to be there with my good friend Terry Johnson and the Flamingos, and Shirley Alston Reeves and the Shirelles.
Right.
Emil Stucchio and the Classics and the Mystics.
That's right.
Right, and that's going to be a great show. It starts at 8 o'clock, and I know that everyone down here in Southern Florida is looking forward to seeing Bobby because they're all baby boomers and they all love you. Of course, Bobby fans know that you were childhood friends with what I call the Philly Rat Pack, you know. So, you know, and we know who that is. As a matter of fact, my good friend is Larry Chance, and of course, his last name is really Figueredo, and he went to that same elementary school as Ernest Evans and sat behind him in Philly.
I never really knew that.
Larry told me that, yeah.
That was Southern High here in South Philadelphia.
Right, and that's before Larry moved to the Bronx. Actually, who moves from Philly to the Bronx? I mean, you know, that's like backwards, you know.
No, well, it's almost the same kind of neighborhood, tell you the truth.
Yeah, no, I can imagine, you know. Rocco and the Saints, what age were you then?
I think I was 14, 15 years
old. Wow. And of course, your golden boy mate, Frankie Avalon, played trumpet in that group.
That's correct. Yeah, matter of fact, they had a drummer by the name of Chippy Peters. His real name was Chippy Brancata.
Uh-huh.
And I, you know, Frankie and I go back. I've known Frank since I was like 9, 10 years old.
Wow.
And he knew that I played drums, and he called me. He said, Bobby, he said, Chippy's sick. He said, could you come and fill in?
Uh-huh.
You know, one night at a place called Bay Shores in Summers Point, New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
So I said, yeah, man, you know, no problem.
Right.
And I went and I sat in, I played like 4 or 5 sets, you know, at that time you did like 45 on, 20 minutes off.
I remember.
Yeah, and there was the lead band was a band called Billy Duke and the Dukes.
Uh-huh.
And there was a guy in the band, his name Frankie Day, who played Fender bass.
Right, okay.
And who later became my manager. And after one of the sets was over, he approached me and he said, you know what, kid, I'd like to manage you. You know, I'm 14 years old, 15, whatever, and I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm talking to my father.
Right.
You know, and that was, you know, we didn't sign any contract. It was a handshake, and he became my manager for the better part of, 18 to 20 years.
Wow, that's pretty funny. You know, it's funny, about 5 years ago, because, you know, I'm a South Florida guy, a Boca guy, you know.
Okay.
I was at the Polo Club when the Golden Boys did the Polo Club show, and you and I took a very nice picture, and I took a picture with Fabian
and Frankie,
and Fabian had just been in a car accident. Frankie Day became your manager, and then you signed with Cameo Parkway. Now, my good friend Johnny Maestro had a couple of sides on Cameo Parkway years ago.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I think the Crest had a few sides, or maybe later on when he had the Crest around 68, 69 before the Brooklyn Bridge.
That's interesting. Mike? I never knew that. I mean, yeah. I was very, 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 very close with with Maestro. You know.
I know that. And
yeah.
I spoke to Johnny the night before he passed away, and Grace put me on the phone and. Then I saw it on Facebook, all over Facebook, you know.
Yeah, and the weird thing about that was, I think a month or 2 months before, you know, Johnny passed away, we did a show in Brooklyn for a Catholic church, and he looked tremendous, and he was singing, you know, what can I tell you, you know, he was so wonderful, And then all of a sudden, we hear that Johnny Mastro passed away. I said, what?
Yeah.
I just saw him like 2 months ago.
Well, yeah. Now Terry Stewart from the Rock. I had a group called Harmony Street. We were three girls, two guys, and we did everything but have a hit. We were very Manhattan transfer-ish. I'll send you some cuts. You know, you'll like it. But
wonderful.
We were the entertainment for Bill and Hillary at the White House in '98. Believe it or not, we were lucky to get that. And Terry Stewart saw us on Fox News going into the White House. And he had us at his New Year's party, and we became very good friends. He told me that Johnny was nominated. He said, however, you know, the voting powers that be have changed. He might never get in, but he is nominated. I said, oh, well, they'll be glad to know that, you know.
Hi, this is Terry Stewart, CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio. And you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on one of my favorite shows, the Harmony Street Show.
Nominated for what?
For the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, who cares?
Yeah. Well, see, that's what I say. Everyone's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is in their heart and their mind. We don't need a bunch of people to vote and tell us who it is that's high on our list or heavy in our hearts.
Not only that, Mike, but the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they put it in Cleveland because Alan Freed was, you know, Cleveland guy. He was born and raised in Cleveland.
Right.
Now he's dead, and they took him out of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, it's
politics. So, you know, who cares about Cleveland? My God in heaven.
It's politics. Know? Well, and not too many planes fly into Cleveland. You got to go. You know, so.
You got to go by way of Guam.
Right, yeah. Exactly right. Right. Now, at the beginning, so you recorded a bunch of tunes at the beginning, and I have a bunch of them. Please don't be mad.
Right.
I have All I Want Is You. But
correct.
Tell me about Fatty Fatty.
Well, Fatty Fatty, there were two guys from the Washington, D.C., Baltimore area.
Right.
And my manager, my dad, gave these guys, you know, a certain amount of money for me to go into a studio and record. So I went in and recorded Fatty Fatty and a song called Dream Age and a couple of other things. I don't even remember the titles.
Right.
And, you know, they were terrible. They were absolutely terrible.
Right.
And, you know, these two guys flew to Coop with the tapes and everything.
Wow.
And, you know, my father and Frankie Day, whatever money they invested, you know, at that time was gone. You know, so we think, you know, it's over, you know. And then all of a sudden, years later, you know, after it became a success, you know, with Cameo.
Right.
These crap recordings started coming out. Dream Age, Fatty, you know. So,
well,
you know,
you can't stop them because YouTube is unstoppable, so.
Oh, yeah. The YouTube, the internet, the whole nine yards.
Everything you ever said or did, someone's got it on YouTube somewhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I thought Fatty Fatty was maybe about Jerry Blabbitt's bodyguard or something. I don't know.
Fatty Fatty. Boombaladdy. I like to hold the bar.
up my arms as can reach that far. I call it Fatty, Fatty, Boombaladdy, Fatty, Fatty, Boombaladdy. I wouldn't say she's heavy, but to make it clear, she weighs 1 pound for every day of the year.
I talk to him all the time too.
Oh know? Yeah, well he's a kook too. He's a very dear friend, but he's not Jerry Blavitt.
I know.
My man.
The boss with the hot sauce. Yeah, he did me.
He did me hot pans.
He did me a promo for my. I said so at the end of the interview. I said, "You're going to do me a promo." It went on for 16 minutes.
This is the Geeter. They call me the big boss of the big hot sauce, and you're on the go with one of the hottest radio shows in town. My man, Mike Miller, with the Harmony Street Sound. This is the man with the plan to make sure that you know everything about the music that's a part of our band.
Oh yeah. When we do this cruise, Malt Shop Memories.
I know all about it. I got a story
about
that.
Jerry's the guy who introduces all the acts. He's all over the ship. I don't think the man sleeps at all on the ship. I think he even goes into the goddamn boiler room and does something, He's amazing. He's got so much energy.
And he's in good shape. I understand he runs like 3 miles a day.
Oh, he does. I talked to him today. And as I was talking to him, I said, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm on my bike. I'm driving through Philly."
Wow!
I said, "You're nuts. You're totally nuts." You know.
Well,
but he is. He's a freak when it comes to going to the gym and lifting weights and you name it, he does it. You know.
I know. So getting back to the Bobby story, Kissin' Time comes out and Slam Bang Pow. It's a huge hit and a gold record. Did you know what you had in the studio after you recorded that?
No, we did it. We did it in the Cameo Parkway. They had a little 2x4 studio, 2-track, recording machines. Right. And I did it with a gentleman by the name of Georgie Young, who is a marvelous saxophone player. Plays all of the reeds. He plays alto, tenor, baritone sax, soprano sax, the whole nine yards. And we did it with his band, Georgie Young and the Rockin' Box.
Wow.
So Dave Apple, who was the music coordinator for Cameo, wrote the chart, and the band, Georgie Young and the Rockin' Box, played the chart.
Right.
And, when we did it in the studio, and they had, you listen to the playback and go, wow, boom, 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 that, that, this.
right.
You know, that really sounds good,
Right.
And, who knew? Bernie Lowe took it to Dick Clark. Dick Clark played the record, and he said to Bernie Lowe, "That's a hit."
Wow.
And that's how it started.
And I guess when Dick Clark said that's a hit, it usually was.
Well, you got to figure, back then, emanating out of, Philadelphia, show went on at 3:30 to 5 o'clock every day, coast to coast.
Right.
And when Dick played a record,
you bet.
Of course, all of the local disc jockeys, if Dick's playing it, we got to jump on it too,
Absolutely.
For sure, yeah.
They're kissing in Cleveland, Kansas City team. They're wailing in Wildwood, back in Waterloo. They're scooching all over, even in St. Louis. So baby, get ready, I'm kissing you. Oh baby, cause summertime is a kissing time, USA. So treat me right, don't make me fight. The battle of New Orleans tonight. We're kissing on beaches, see the shiny sea. Smooching on benches, neath a kissing tree. Lipstick on collars, down in Tennessee. So baby, come on now, you start accusing me. Fine.
and seeing short. The Tampa to Detroit, they all thought the score. So, oh, baby, what are we waiting for?
And then came Swingin' School, and then came Wild One, and then, you know.
Chicks, ah! Kicks, ah! Cats, ah! Cool, ah! School, ah! Yeah, 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 I go with Swingin' School.
La, 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 la.
For where the chicks are kicks and the cats are cool.
And actually, my wife, she said to me, oh, you know, I can't wait to go to the FAU show because I always buy the two front row Senate seats from Joe Marione every time he does a show here because,
right,
you know, Joe's my buddy, you know, he's like my little brother.
Oh, he's a wonderful guy.
He does a great job.
Yes, he does.
You know, and, but Paulette always says, you know, Bobby Rydell always had the best hair. <You know? laughs> and I say, yeah, you're right. You know, you'll meet Paulette, you know, comes to all the shows.
Okay.
And of course I'm a Jewish guy from the Bronx, but I only marry Italians. So
you're a smart guy.
Yeah, there it is. So my wife is Italian, but you know, the one thing about my wife is I ask her gravy or sauce. She says sauce. I said, you're not that kind of an Italian.
Yeah, because here in Philly we call it gravy.
Oh, I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah. We never call it sauce, you know. It's always, you know, whether it's a marinara, you know, it's not marinara sauce, it's gravy, you know, what kind of, you know.
Exactly. But I read that if I take you out for Italian, that I got to get you the escarole soup. I read that somewhere. I read that somewhere.
We don't see in Italian. We don't say escarole.
Escarole.
We say scarole.
Oh, there you go, scarole.
Scarole and beans.
Wow. No, I like that. You know, Tim Hauser, just before he passed away, which he passed away last year, he had a sauce out. He marketed a sauce that started to hit the stores. Believe it or not.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. You listen to me. I'll give you all the dirt. You know. But, you know, not to make you blush or anything, but, you know, really and truly, the term teen idol, you know, yes, you were a teen idol, but you became a pop legend. And really and truly, because I'm a fan. And, you know, you're with Mel Torme, and you're with Vic Damone, and you're with Eddie Fisher, who I loved. And you're in that class because you earned that. You know, the teen idol thing is cute and it's all right, But I think you transcended that over the
years. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you ever so much, Mike. But, yeah, I,
but it's
you know,
the truth.
I, you know, like when I was 5 years old and I saw Gene Krupa, you know, I was listening to big bands at that, you know, at that early age. And
right.
then at like 10 years old, I was listening to Sinatra.
Right.
You know, that's all I listened to was the old man. I listened to Sinatra.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've always, you know, emanated, not, I've always wanted to be that type of singer.
Right.
I wanted to be like a Steve Lawrence, a Frank Sinatra, you know, like you said, Eddie Fisher, Vic Damone, you know, Mel Torme. My God, the list can go on forever. Because they're the tunes that I really love to sing. And when I do my show now, I do a lot of, you know, as they say, American standards, you know, some great old tunes.
I understand that.
You know, besides the hits that everybody wants to hear, the Volatis, the Wild
right.
Ones, the Forgettins, the Sway,
right.
you know, and, but I do other things as well. So I appreciate that. Thank you, Mike.
No, you know, but the point is, I think people, some of them don't realize how many tunes you actually recorded. Because you recorded a lot of stuff.
Oh, my God, yeah. I sure did.
You
yeah.
know.
That old black magic has me in its spell. That old black magic that you weave so well. Those your fingers up and down my spine. The same old witchcraft when your eyes meet mine. I love you so, yeah. That same old tingle that I feel inside. And then that elevator starts to climb. And darling, down and down I go. Round and round I go. Like a leaf that's caught in. The lover I ever waited for. You're the mate that fate had me created for. And every time your lips meet mine, yo, down and down I go, and around and around I go. In a spin, loving a spin that I'm in, under that hole, a black magic of love. Okay, one more time, yeah. Down and down I go, round and round I go. I'm in a spin now, and I'm loving that spin that I'm in. And I'm that oh, like a magical lover. Yeah, I'm in that like a magical lover. I keep on talking about the black gold magic. Yes, baby, the gold love. Oh, yeah, I love that thing.
Every night I hope and pray a dream lover will come my way. A girl to hold in my arms and know the magic of her charms. Because I want a girl to call. Some way I don't know how.
Hi there, I'm Shirley Austin Reeves, the original lead singer of the Shirelles, and you're listening to Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Great. Give me one more.
Nope. Okay. Hello there, I'm Shirley Austin Reeves, the original lead singer of the Shirelles, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show. Hi Mike, how you doing, baby? Love you, Mike.
Remember, 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 remember then, remember, remember then, remember.
That night we fell in love beneath the stars above. That was a lovely summer night. Remember then. Such a sin. Remember then,
then, then, then, then.
Remember, 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 remember.
Our love is in the past. Where has it gone so fast? Why couldn't our love last? I'm broken hearted now. Since we have parted now, my mind wanders now and then. Remember then,
then, then, then, then.
Remember, 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 remember,
let's talk about the movie, because that movie has become a cult movie. I've probably seen it 15 times without realizing it. I was thinking about that last night. Bye Bye Birdie is a movie that just about everyone has seen. And now that movie, because, you know, now with TV, we can go back and watch the old movies. They're now showing that movie to their offspring, and they're showing it to the kids of the kids. And, of course, you did something that every young teenage guy dreamed about doing. You stood there and you danced and sang and, spent time with Ann Margaret.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yes. I was 21. She was 22 at the time.
Wow.
One boy, one special boy. One boy to go with, to talk with and walk with. One boy, that's the way it should be.
Yeah, yeah, that's the way it should be.
One boy, one certain boy. One boy to laugh with, to joke with, have coke with. One boy, not two or three. One day you'll find out this is what life is all about. You need someone who
one steady boy, one boy to be with forever and ever. One boy, that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be.
Now, is that the kissable woman interested in any other man?
I don't know. How do I tell? Oh, but he made you faint.
Oh, she did not. I was just exhausted cramming for my English exam. Hugo. Hugo, you've got to try to understand me as a woman. Now, I might like Conrad as a friend, but when it comes to the real thing, the grand passion, well, that's something special, Hugo. That's you.
One day you'll find out this is what life is all about.
You need someone who is living just for you.
One boy, one steady boy, one boy to be with forever and ever. One boy, that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be.
Homework! Hey, I've got homework to do.
And Hugo actually became a cult figure. People that see that movie and love that movie, it really does go on and on.
Oh, absolutely. It's a classic. You know, it's in the same kind of avenue as, you know, Grease. You know, Grease, which, of course, anyone who has seen Grease, the kids attended Rydell High.
Right.
You know, so Grease and Bye Bye Birdie, you know, they're in the same ballpark. They're classic films. You know, they'll last forever.
And, you know, I think I had the pleasure of doing the Copa years ago with a guy by the name of Frankie 13. He was a Mulberry Street brat. His father was a hitman for the Gambino family. I can say this now. And, and we did a week there. It was Sal Sicari's orchestra.
Sal was great. Great pianist, you know, and he always had a great band behind him as well.
Yep. You know, you did the Copa at 19. How scary is that?
Yeah, very, very scary. You know, I remember, you know, when they introduced me and, you know, I'm walking down the steps onto the stage and all of the captains and head waiters, you know, go get them, Bobby, you know, right. Knock them on their ass, you know, kill them, Bobby, you know. And I and my mom and my dad were there, of course, opening night at the Copa. My opening song was Lots of Living, you know, and the band's playing pop, 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 pop. And I came out and I started saying, "There are chicks." You know, I was so, you know, but after like the first couple of verses, then, you know, everything kind of like,
yeah,
you know,
I know that feeling.
Calmed down, you know, and I knew, you know, where I had to be at the time. But the first couple of verses were like, you know.
That's funny. Well, you go out and you let them vamp for about 22 minutes, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the first word?
The place was so loaded that the Copa girls couldn't even go on. You know, the girls who wore like the Carmen Miranda with the bananas and the things, you know, the headdress, you know, because there was no room to dance.
You lead a very interesting life for a young man. I heard, is it very soon that you're going to be at the Copa?
That's right, next month. In April, we'll be at the Copa for either 2 or 3 weeks.
And you go to Las Vegas?
Las Vegas in June, I believe, with Mr. Red Skelton.
And back from South America recently?
Yeah. Boy, that's a long flight.
I don't know as I want to run around and follow your tracks. You going back to Philadelphia?
Going back home, yeah.
Do me a favor. Will you give my love to Philadelphia?
I certainly will, Dick.
Bless your heart.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bobby Rydell, you know, and there you go, you're on.
There are songs
I'll make it to sing out, and I mean to sing me a few. There are bells I'm ready to ring out. Yeah, I've got a lot of living to do. Pretty girls all over creation, and am I enjoying the view? Every day is cause for elation. Yeah, I've got a lot of living to do. There is music to play, places to go, people to see, and they all spell L-I-V-E. So better not flow away, and it's all just waiting for you. You're alive, so come on and show it. There is such a lot of living to do. There's an echo balloon, soon to the moon, we're gonna climb. Count down 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's blast off time. Like a kick, kick, kick. Better not blow it, and it's all just waiting for you. You're alive, so come on and show it. There is such a lot of living. Look what we've been given. There's a lot of living to do.
You did a couple of tunes with Chubby over the years.
We did an album together.
Yeah.
It was released during the holidays, you know, like the Christmas holidays, but it was never intended to be a Christmas album,
right.
Although we had some songs on there, like What Are You Doing New Year's and Jingle Bell Rock, you know, so on and so forth. But yeah, it was a very successful album for Chubby and myself, yeah.
Right.
Bobby, what are you doing New Year's Eve?
Gee, I don't know, Chubby. What are you doing?
Working, what else?
Yeah, I guess I'll be working too. You know, Chubby, gee, I wonder what our girlfriends will be doing.
Yeah, me too. Maybe it's much too early in the game. Oh, but I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing New Year's? New Year's Eve. Wonder whose arms hold her tight.
Yeah, when it's exactly 12 o'clock that night.
Welcoming in the new year.
Maybe I'm crazy to suppose I'd ever be the one you chose. I took a thousand invitations you receive.
Ah, but in case I stand one little chance.
Here it comes now, that big jackpot question in advance.
What are you doing?
Happy New Year, everybody.
I'm listening to Sirius, which I do, and I'm in my car, and all of a sudden I hear, I've got Bonnie. You know,
okay,
and
yeah,
I'm saying
right,
to myself,
course, yeah.
Now 50's that's
on five or 60's on six.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm saying that's one that they usually don't play.
No, that's right. I got Bonnie. I'll never dance again. Or
right.
You know.
Bye.
star, but still I wouldn't sway with someone else if he works twice as rich, 'cause I've got Bonnie, sweet, sweet Bonnie.
This is Ben E. King, and you're listening to my friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
My soul wants to sway into the beat of your heart, and your lips were saying that we won't dance apart. Now someone else is holding you the way I did then. Sure, I don't care, but my arms discovered that the thrill wasn't there, unless my arms are holding you the way they did then. Darling, I will never, no, I'll never, never dance again. Oh, I stay.
Now, did you have your favorite and your musicians that stayed with you for years, your nucleus of musicians that you traveled with?
Well, since I started playing drums at 5 years old, I always carried drummers. As my musical conductor.
Right.
And that's all I've had through the years. I've been through I think my latest guy who's been with me for 36 years now.
Wow.
His name is David Kubnat.
Right.
And he studied off a guy who was with me for 10 years, his name being Carl Mottola.
Uh-huh.
And Carl, when Carl didn't want to travel anymore, he said, Bobby, he said, I got this kid, David Kubnat, he's pretty good. He could swing. He reads music really well. He said, give him a shot, which I did. And that was like 36 years ago, and he's still with me.
Wow.
And he's going to stay with me until he gets it right, for crying out loud.
Yeah, right. Right. Because, I find, and I'm still doing some shows and producing some shows, and, still, I sang with a couple of hit doo-wop groups, and I've been a lot of big shows, and I do the condo circuit here and the country club thing.
Right,
with
right,
some
right.
other guys with a track show. But I noticed that in the big shows, a lot of times you send charts ahead or whatever. And the guys don't look at them till the sound check and whatever. And it's, they play through a lot of the changes.
Correct.
And you know, I don't have to tell you that. So, you know, basically you want good players.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, that's, you know, that's tops on my list. I mean, the guys got to be, first of all, they have to be readers.
Right.
They have to be excellent readers, you know, and they have to be able to play their instrument, you know, because, you know, tell you the truth, you know, Mike, if the band ain't happening behind you and you're out in front and the band ain't happening, you know, you kind of suck, you know.
Right.
Because, you know, if nothing's happening behind you, you know, you're just going to kind of like walk through it, mark it, you know, just do the tunes and get the hell off, you know. But to be able to work with players, you know, like guys who are really, really players.
Right.
Like, there's a band here in Philly called the City Rhythm Orchestra.
Right.
They're marvelous. They're really great, and I'll be working with them shortly.
Wow.
And then I'll be in Atlantic City at the Golden Nugget by myself with a 15-piece orchestra.
Right.
And that's under the direction of a guy by the name of Mike Pettison Jr.
Uh-huh.
And Mike Pettison Jr. is not only a fine player, he's a great jazz player. And he always surrounds himself with the top players, you know, around in Atlantic City. So I'm really looking forward to that job because we're going to be kicking ass there.
Oh, yeah. And the other thing I just, the cherry that I want to put on that conversation is never piss off the sound guy.
No, true. No, no, yeah, you don't, no, yeah, no, the sound guys, you know, and yeah, I'm the kind of guy, you know, I hardly ever go to rehearsal, you know, I'll go to rehearsal, you know, because we're doing a couple of, you know, brand new charts, for Atlantic City. They're not written up yet, you know, so I'll go down there and just, you know, go through the tunes. It's just a couple of new tunes we're putting into the act.
Right.
And, you know, I'll go down there and rehearse and see how the chart sounds, so on and so forth.
Right.
And then I'll get a balance.
Right, not here.
You know, I say, you know, if it sounds muddy, you know, you say, well, take some of the bass off and give me some more highs, you know, so on and so forth. But no, you never piss off the sound guy, you know.
No.
Try and be a pussycat,
I say that kiddingly. So, anyway, do people stop you in the airport and say, there goes Zeke Diddle Hopper?
No,
not anymore.
No, there goes, what was his name? He looks familiar, but he kind of changed, you know.
You know, you remember that old line?
The
line is, didn't you used to be Bobby Rydell?
Exactly, you know, yeah.
That's
it's
funny.
Like one of Fabian's line, you know it's over when you wave and nobody waves back, you know.
So anyway, Red Skelton, Jack Benny, Perry Como, you did all the shows. I saw you on the Mike Douglas show, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah. You know, being from Philadelphia, you know, if somebody didn't show up, I'd get a call from the Douglas office. Bobby, can you make it? Like, so-and-so didn't show up, and we need somebody to fill in, you know, for like 10 minutes, you know.
I got to ask you this, because I have three dogs. We have a lab, we have a golden, and we have a golden doodle. What kind of dog do you have?
We have two mutts. They're both rescued dogs. We got them off of Craigslist.
Oh, cool.
The one guy is Ringo.
Right.
He's close to 14 years old, and now, you know, I hate to say it, but it's kind of cute. We got a diaper on him now, you know, because he's getting old. He's 14 years old, but he's a beautiful dog.
I'm sure.
And the other one is Bella. She's about 5 years old.
Ah.
So I got a female and a male. And they get along great. They're wonderful dogs. And I also, we have a cat, Tom. Yeah, he stays behind the living room couch because when he comes out, the dogs bark at him, you know. They don't do anything to him. They just bark at him.
I hear Bella barking now. We have a Bella. Our golden doodle is Bella also.
Oh, really?
And it took us like 3 months to find that name. You know, I look around and say, everybody's dog's name is Bella.
Well, you know, we got nicknames for them. Like Bella is Boo Boo.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Boo-Boo. Yeah, how you doing? And she knows, you know, she knows Boo-Boo or Bella.
Uh-huh.
You know, Ringo is Wrinkle. Old man. How you doing, old man? You know, diaper dog, you know.
By the way, one of my very good friends is John Madera.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And it's funny because my wife was on tour with Bob Hope and Joey Heatherton because my wife was in the Miss USA contest and I was the runner-up in Miss World. And I was talking to John one day and we're talking, about Joey, because Joey Heatherton, of course, was John's first girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
Did you know that?
No, I did not.
John Madara.
No, matter of fact, I think one of the very first Perry Como shows that I did, Joey Heatherton was a guest on there, and she was like brand new.
And he produced her.
Interesting. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
yeah. How about that?
Absolutely. Well, let me ask you this. What is your favorite Bobby Rydell tune?
Just off the top of my head, I would have to say Volare. That is my signature song. That's my walk-on music. That's right. My bow music. So I would venture to say that Volare. Another favorite of mine is a song that I recorded in London, England, and that was Forget Him, which became my third million seller.
Forget him. Forget him.
Forget him if he doesn't love you. Forget him if he doesn't care. Don't let him tell you that he wants you, 'cause he can't give you love which isn't there. Oh, little girl, he's never dreaming of you. He'll break your heart, you wait and see. And see, so don't you cry.
all of them, you know, Volati would have to be my, you know, my favorite.
Right. And I didn't know that song was recorded in the UK. That's
yeah, yeah. We recorded it on Pi Records.
Wow.
A guy by the name of Tony Hatch wrote the song.
Right, right.
And we recorded it. And, of course, Bernie Lowe, Cal Mann, and Dave Apple, they didn't want to release it because they didn't have the publishing. You know?
Right.
They didn't want to release the record, and a disc jockey up in Toronto, Canada, by the name of Dave Johnson on Chum Radio in Toronto, started playing the tune. And then from there, it leaked down into Detroit, and then, you know, Cameo was forced, you know, to release, you know, Forget Him in the United States, and it became my third billion seller. Yeah.
Right, right, right. Dion's my neighbor, you know, because I live, he lives.
I just talked to Dion about 2 days ago.
Yeah. You know.
Because I'm coming out with a book. I'm coming out with an autobiography.
I know. I want to talk about that, too. Yeah.
Anyway, you know, I got quite a few people, you know, to write some blurbs.
Right.
You know, I got, like, Steve Lawrence. I got
right.
Frank
cool.
I got Frank Sinatra Jr.
Right.
Little Anthony.
Right.
Anyway, you know, I called Dion. I said, you know, D, you know, would you, you know, he
right.
said, hey, man, you know,
yo.
Like, what do you want? You want a paragraph? You want,
right.
you know, just a line, two lines. It could
right.
be you and me,
right.
you talking about me. And he sent over a beautiful thing.
Oh, he's good, yeah.
I love Dion, man. He's
yeah.
a very, you know, he's a very, very talented cat, man. He, you know, he really is.
He sure is. I like Susan better, but you know, I love Dion, and I'm really a fan.
Yeah, he sent me a clip because I had missed it. He said he was on the Conan O'Brien show.
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
and
recently.
Then he did one of these tunes.
Oh
from his,
man,
you know,
he rocked it. He rocked it.
You know, and
oh,
I'm
man.
Telling you, man. You know, he sent me the clip. I said, gee, I said Dion. I said, you know, I didn't see it, man. He says, I'll send you the clip, man. I'll send you the clip.
Yeah.
So he sent me the clip, and I, you know, on my phone, and I said, wow. I said, wow.
Yeah,
man. And I text him, you know, right
yeah.
back. I said, man, you are effing great.
Right,
man.
Right.
You know, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I agree.
Mike, this is Dion. Thanks for thinking of me. Stay well. God bless.
Dion is Dion. People walk up to him in Boca at the mall, whatever. You're Dion, aren't you? It depends on the mood. He either says, nah, or he'll stand there and talk to them for 3 hours about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Depends
that's
on
it.
The mood.
That's it. He said the one thing in the blurb, he said, I never had an argument with Bobby Rydell, and we're still friends to this day.
Okay. I got one for you. Jimmy Clanton's a good friend of mine.
Oh, I talked to him a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him for years.
Now,
oh my God.
I'll tell you what he told me. He said, the original name of a tune that he had was called Go Bobby Go.
Right.
And it was supposed
right.
to be Go Bobby Go. And then for some reason, somebody handed him the tune and he recorded it, but it was supposed to be your tune. Is that true?
I really don't know anything about that. I really, really don't know. Go Bobby Go.
He told me, he's got that song. Go Jimmy Go.
Go. Yeah, right.
He told me.
No, I didn't know that was there.
Oh, all right. Well, maybe you should let him write a chapter in the book.
Absolutely, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you know, well, Jimmy Clanton does Bobby Rydell, you know.
Yeah.
I hesitate to ask you about this, but I have to ask you about this because people that care about you probably want to know this story in your own words. But I remember in 2012... that you were going to be on the Malt Shop cruise, and then all of a sudden you had an occurrence in your life which kind of took your life in another direction.
Yeah, that's exactly correct.
Right.
July 9th, to be exact, July 9th of 2012,
right.
I went into Jefferson Hospital here
right.
in Philadelphia, and I had double transplant mm. surgery. I had a new liver and a new kidney put inside me.
Right.
And I believe, you know, all of the symptoms started happening around, late 2010, and then, of course, 2011, and I became very, very, very extremely sick.
Right.
And my wife, God bless her, man, she became, like, the greatest, you know, caretaker in the world.
Right.
Because I, you know, I was like an infant, for crying out loud. I
yeah.
couldn't remember names. I would talk
wow.
stupid,
wow.
you know. I'd mess myself, and, you
yeah.
know, she was always there. And, you know, and I did need a liver, and my kidneys were starting to fail as well.
Right.
So, you know, I went through the whole process, Jefferson Hospital, put my name on the list, and yada, yada, yada,
wow.
You know. And I said to my wife, this was the night before Jefferson called me. This was July the 8th of 2012.
Right.
I said to my wife, I said, you know what, sweetheart? I said, you better get everything together. You know, take care of all of the business, this, that, the other thing.
Right.
I ain't going to make it, baby.
Right,
you know,
right, right,
I'm going to be dead
right.
in another couple of weeks, you know. And she said, oh, yeah. And she knew.
Right.
You know,
right.
You know, but she was a nurse for 36 years.
Right.
She knew. And she said to me, prior to me saying this that evening, she said, you know what, Bobby? If you're ever going to get a liver, it's going to be this time of the year.
Uh-huh.
It was around, you know, July the 4th.
Right.
And a lot of things happen. There's hit and runs.
Wow.
There's, you know, DUIs. There's,
wow.
you know, so on and so forth.
Unbelievable.
And I said, yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, you know, make a long story short, you know, I told her this July the 8th, July the 9th, a phone call comes from Jefferson Hospital. And they say, get your ass over here.
Wow.
And I go to Jefferson. I was about 12:30 in the afternoon on July the 9th. They started taking blood, this, that, the other thing. And before I knew it, 3.5-4 hours later, I was in the OR for 20-some-odd hours getting a new liver and a new kidney.
Wow.
And that was all because of a young girl who came from Reading, Pennsylvania, not far from here, like only 50 miles.
Right.
She was 21 years old, and she got hit by a car.
Wow.
And she was immediately pronounced brain dead, which
right.
is the only way that you can get any kind of organs. You know, you have to be
right.
brain dead, you know, to get a liver, a heart, a kidney, a
right.
you know, so on and so forth. And it was like a miracle, Mike. You know,
yeah.
I'm O positive blood,
right?
Which means I can give to anybody,
right?
But I can only take O positive,
right? I am
my
too, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And my donor, God rest her soul, Julia, was O positive.
Wow.
So I mean, everything, it like God came out of the heavens, you know, and he said, you know, this is what's going to happen, Bobby. And I thought that I was the primary recipient, but there was a little black girl, 4 year old, her name is Saya.
Right.
She was 4 years old. She needed a liver. So my donor, Julia, of course, I got her liver
right.
and one of her kidneys. And this little girl, Saya, and I, we split the liver. In other words, I got 75%.
Wow.
And the little girl, Asaya, got 25%.
Wow.
Right? So, as I'm sure a lot of people know, the liver is the only organ in the body that rejuvenates and
right.
grows.
Right.
So, right now, my liver is full, and now Asaya is 7.5 years old, and she's doing great. So, you know, I'm a lucky guy. I'm really a lucky guy because I had a marvelous Italian surgeon
right.
here at Jefferson. His name was Cataldo Doria.
Uh-huh.
And he told my wife after the surgery, he said, if a Bob, and he spoke broken.
Wow.
He said, if a Bob didn't get the liver, he said that maybe 2 weeks more that he would be dead.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
So, you know, it was just, you know. It was a miracle.
So
it was an absolute miracle.
Actually, this little girl is really like your sister now.
Well, yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, the doctor, Dr. Doria, he has a Christmas party for, you know, some of his staff, this, that. And he said to me, he didn't even know who I was at the time.
Wow.
And he went home. He said, everybody at the hospital is telling me I'm working on this guy, Bobby Rydell. And the wife said, oh, he's a famous singer. Oh, that's what they say, he's a singer, you know, because he came from the old country. He came from Italy.
Right.
So, and then, of course, we became very dear friends. And
right.
he said, would you sing at my, you know, Christmas party?
Uh-huh.
And that's where Asaya and I met, the little girl that
wow.
I met. And my wife and I, we gave her a little bear, which she calls Bobby's Bear.
Right.
And she listens to my songs.
It's unbelievable.
She's 7.5 years old. She's listening to Bobby Rydell.
And I understand quite a few lives were saved by that little girl, right?
Yeah, well, by Julia, our donor. Yeah,
eyes
I mean, she must have saved, Mike, at least seven people.
Right.
you know, me and Asaya being two.
Right.
Who else got the other kidney? Who got her heart? Who got her lungs? Who got her eyes? You know, so, and her mother did not know that on her license that she was an organ donor.
Wow.
So when I do my shows, you know, now I of course I talk about Julia.
Right.
And I address the audience saying that, you know, if by chance you're not an organ donor, the next time you apply for your new license as a favor to
right.
me, meaning me,
right.
I said, please become an organ donor because it truly is the gift of life, which
well,
it is, of course.
I've thought about it, you know, and, you know, it's that sounds like a great idea. I mean, really, you should bring Asaya on stage and say, this is my blood relative, because she really is.
if that ever happens, that would be wonderful.
Yeah,
would be absolutely wonderful.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, because a lot of people are going to hear this. Bobby Rydell has a great sense of humor on top of everything else. Because, you know...
The rhythm start to play.
Uh-huh.
Dance with me.
Yeah, yeah.
Make me sway.
La, 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 la.
Like a lazy ocean, hug the shore.
Uh-huh.
Hold me close.
Whoa, whoa.
Sway me more.
La, 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 la.
Like a flower bending in the breeze.
Uh-huh.
Bend with me.
Yeah, yeah.
Sway with me.
So
when the dance you have a way with me. I got eyes due to see only you.
Yeah, yeah.
Only you have that magic technique. When we sway, I grow weak. I can hear the sound of violins long before it begins.
Yeah, yeah.
The thrill is something you know how. Sway me smooth, sway me now.
The rhythm start to play.
Whoa, whoa.
Dance me.
Yeah, yeah.
Make me sway.
La, 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 la. Like a lazy ocean hugs the shore.
Uh-huh.
Hold me close.
Yeah, yeah.
Sway me more. Dancers may be on the floor, dear, but my eyes will see only you.
Yeah, yeah.
Only you have that magic technique. When we sway, I grow weak. I can hear that sound of violin long before it begins. It makes me thrill as only you know how. Ah, swing me smooth. Sway me now. They make me thrill as only you know how. Come on and sway me now.
You're an Eagles fan, right?
Big. Season ticket holder since 1963.
Wow. Yeah, I know. Hey, listen, I'm a Florida guy who's a Yankee fan.
Of course. You were born and raised where? In the Bronx, you said?
Well, yeah. We escaped, but, you know, my father was a big Yankee fan and whatever. I'll tell you one thing that we have. My wife, she was Miss Maryland first. She actually, she's, you know, very friendly with Angelos and all of those guys. It was funny because we go to the games. I've sung the anthem at Yankee and Shea in the Garden, and I've done it at the Orioles Stadium. But, you know, being a Yankee fan, it's tough for me to sit up in the owner's box, you know, especially when they're playing the Yankees, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
It's tough.
If you remember, you know, I don't know how old you are. I'll be 74 in April.
Right.
My dad was a big, you know, when we had two teams here in Philly when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
We had the Philadelphia Phillies and the Philadelphia A's, the Athletics.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, you know, they went to Oakland. And now they're the Oakland A's.
Right.
But, you know, my dad would take me to the American League ball game.
Right.
You know, and, you know, if the Yankees were playing, you know, the A's, you know, or Detroit was playing the A's, you know, we'd go. And I remember he took me to one game. We were playing the Detroit Tigers.
Right.
And they had a shortstop by the name of Eddie Joost. Uh-huh. Now I'm talking like 1940s, right. Whatever, yeah. And I remember as a kid, I remember this vividly. I would say, hit it over the wall, Eddie. Hit it over the wall. And he hits a home run. And I turned to my father. I said, Eddie Juice just hit a home run for me.
I did that.
And my father, the reason I know, and I met the man, and I took pictures with him back in Tampa, Florida. We're doing a golf tournament, and they said, Joe DiMaggio's at this tournament. Huh. I said, Joe DiMaggio's here? And I said, could I meet? I said, my father never stopped talking about Joe D. Mm-hmm. That was the guy. Joe D was the guy. Right. First of all, being Italian and, one of the greatest ball players I ever put on the goddamn Yankee pinstripe, And so I met this guy, and I said, you think it'd be okay to say hello to Mr. DiMaggio? He said, oh, yeah, Bobby, it's no problem. He said, you want an autograph? I said, well, that'd be wonderful. So one of the guys had an American League ball in his locker.
Right.
In the men's locker at the golf course. He gave me the ball. I went over to Joe D. I introduced myself. I said, Mr. DiMaggio, Bobby Rydell. And he looked up. He said, how are you, Bobby? Well, nice meeting you. I said, no, it's my pleasure, Mr. Joe D. And I said, would you mind signing this baseball for me? Please don't just sign your name.
Right.
I want it to me, to Bobby.
Right.
Best always, whatever, Joe DiMaggio. And I had the ball.
That's fabulous.
Ball. Yeah. I got a great pictures with him, too. Matter of fact, this guy who wanted to introduce me, when I asked him, his name was Carl.
Right.
He said, you know what, Bobby, I'll introduce you to him. He said, but don't say anything about Marilyn or Frank. I said, no, of course not. Wow. I'm not going to say, he could say two words about Marilyn or Frank.
Spring will soon be gone.
Holiday.
Summer's coming on.
What's funny, I ran into Shecky Green down here.
Wow.
And so I'm at a friend's house. I'm going to a friend's house, and he lives in Lauderdale on the water. And I think I'll go to the deli. I get a sandwich. I don't want to raid his refrigerator. So I'm online, whatever, and I'm waiting. There's, like, people in front of me. And I turn around. I see this guy behind me. And I keep turning around, and finally I go, Shecky? And he goes, Green. Why? And I said to him, so I said to him, wow, when I start talking, because I did the Catskills years ago, you know, and it, he says, oh, my best friend was Corbett Monica and the whole thing and yada, yada.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah.
So.
I mean, yeah, if you remember years ago, you couldn't get a ticket in Vegas to see Shecky Green.
Right.
You know, he sold out every night for crying out loud.
I said, I remember your closing joke. And he says, what was that? And I said, you come out of the casino, you've just done your second show, and you decide to go out for some fresh air, and you light up a cigarette. All of a sudden, this huge limousine pulls around. 12 guys in tuxedos get out of the limousine with bats. They beat the crap out of you. You're down on the ground. The cigarette rolls out of your mouth towards the curb, and you look up, and you see two patent leather shoes, and you look up, and it's Sinatra, and Sinatra goes, okay, that's enough.
That would be Shecky, yeah.
That was his closing joke. But if you know anything about Shecky, Shecky owed them a lot of gambling money, and they kind of...
Oh, who don't know that?
Right, you know. But so I said to Shecky, he's 84 years old, I said, are you still working? He goes, yeah, I tell 4 jokes a year. He goes, which is pretty funny. Tell me about the book.
Well, the book is an autobiography, and it goes from, like I mentioned earlier,
right,
3 years old up until the present day.
Right.
And it's really, we worked on it for a better part of a year, over a year, and the book will be coming out somewhere around this April, and the book is entitled Bobby Rydell, A Teen Idol on the Rocks, which has connotations as far as like career-wise, ups and downs, and so on and so forth. And then, of course, which led to when my first wife passed away.
Right.
We were married for 36 years, Camille and me.
Right.
And that led me to a very dear friend called Kettle One.
Right.
Vodka. And I started, you know, Kettle One became my very, very dear friend.
Wow.
And I started drinking to the point where I'd hide bottles in my golf bag in the trunk of my car. You know, half the bottle was going in the refrigerator. I'd have to go to the liquor store and get a whole brand new, you know, full bottle. And, you know, and the book tells the whole story about the drinking and the problems that I had, about my family, about my mom, my dad, a lot of things that, you know, people who know me are not even aware of.
Wow.
There's kind of like a lot of dirt in the book, you know.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And, you know, unfortunately, that's what sells, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it can't always be, you know, goody two shoes. You have to come out and, you know, you know, throw some dirt out there, and the book really goes through from 3 years old up until now, 70, you know, going to be 74. And it's written really cool. It's not written as a normal book, like, you know, chapter one, chapter two.
Right.
It's written as a chart.
Uh-huh.
Like chorus one, chorus two, verse, tacit, you know, tacit, all of that stuff. It's musically written with, like, you know, clef notes and, you know.
Wow.
It's really, really cool. And like I said earlier, we got a lot of blurbs from a lot of great people.
Cool.
And I didn't know this was going to happen. I just came home last night. This is March the 2nd.
Right.
I was in New York City, and I just did a shoot for a new movie called The Comedian.
Oh.
And I did a shoot with Robert De Niro.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and the movie's supposedly coming out like somewhere around like November, December of supposedly this year.
Wow, how cool is that?
And, you know, I thought that I was just going to go, and it was like the scene is an autograph convention.
Right.
Where people come, you know, you sit, you sign, you know. And there was another girl, her name Colleen Zenk. She was for 30 years on a show called As the World Turns.
Right. Okay.
So it was her, Robert De Niro, and me, right? And, you know, the director came up to me, who directed The Idolmaker and its Officer and Gentleman.
Yeah.
You know, he did the Ray Charles, the Ray movie.
Wow.
And he said, Bobby, he said, you know the scene? I said, yes, I do. You know, Taylor, I said, I know the scene. He says, well, he says, once we're on the set, he says, I may think of something.
Right.
I said, fine, you know, I'm willing to do it. Make a long story short, I thought I was just going to be in the background signing autographs.
Uh-huh.
Now I got lines with Robert De Niro.
Cool.
It's really cool, man.
Doesn't get better.
Yeah. you know, I didn't really care, you know, just to be next to De Niro.
Oh, sure.
You know, and be, you know, in the same shot
and,
with him.
And breathe the same air, you know.
And breathe the same air. And, you know, now the director says, you know, well, you know, he says to De Niro, he says, you know, Bob, he says, why don't you call Bobby, you know, call Bobby because you never did this before. You never did this autograph signing. Uh-huh. You know, ask him about, you know, what do you do? You know, and he calls me over. He says, Bobby, you know. And his name in the movie is Jackie. He's supposed to be a stand-up comedian,
right,
who's like a Don Rickles,
right? Right?
And he calls me over to ask me about, you know, what do I do, you know? And I just go, and there was no script, you know, there's no lines. It was just off the cuff,
right?
You know, and I say, Jackie, I said, you know, the people come over here, you meet them, they meet you, you sign an autograph.
Right.
I said, it's a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
And my the closing line is, I look at De Niro and I say, whose name is Jackie in the movie.
Right.
I said, Jackie, just be yourself. You know what I'm talking about?
Right,
just be yourself.
Right.
But it's going to, you know, and I'll tell you, a lot of people, you know, told me about De Niro, you know, and when I met him, he was the nicest cat man that I've ever met in my life. He's so low key.
Yep.
You know, he talks above a whisper.
Yep.
You know, he talks above it, and there's one scene in a movie where he starts, you know, yelling, you mother this and
that.
And I look and I say, oh, that's the hero that I know.
That's right. Well, you know, what's funny, I saw him on the Actors Guild, you know, once in a while, and he said, the secret to acting is not to act. He said, just to be yourself. And that's why when you said that, I said, wow, that's, you know, makes sense.
Absolutely. The secret to acting, I heard many, many years ago, is not to act, it's to react.
Right. Exactly.
That's the secret to acting, to react, not to act, yes. And he's that way, you know. He was so beautiful. I mean, he took pictures, me and my wife, and him and me and the director, and he was just marvelous. I was on set at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we didn't shut down the set till like 6:30, 7 at night.
Unbelievable.
And he was there all the time, you know, just hanging around, talking, he's beautiful.
You talking to me? You talking to me? You talking to me? Well, then who the hell else are you talking? You talking to me? Well, I'm the only one here. Who the f*** do you think you're talking to? Oh, yeah? Huh? Okay.
The Joker is me! There's always a Joker in the pack. There's always a lonely clown. The poor laughing fool falls on his back, and everyone laughs when he's down. There's always a funny man in the game, but he's only funny by mistake. Ah, but everyone laughs at him just the same. They don't see his lonely heart break. Oh, they don't care as long as there is a jester, just a fool, as foolish as he can be. There's always a joker, that's a rule, but fate deals a hand and I see the joker is me. Just a fool, as foolish as he can be. There's always a joker, that's the rule, but fate deals a hand and I see the joker is me. The joker is me.
Beautiful.
They're actually recreating now A Bronx Tale as a musical, which has Pimenteri and De Niro's part of that as well now. They're making a musical out of A Bronx Tale, like they haven't done enough things with it yet. And now it's going to be
a musical. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, I, of course, I saw the movie.
Right.
And then Chaz Pimenteri came into Philly at the Forest Theater to do A Bronx Tale, one-man show.
Right.
I don't know if you've seen it. He's brilliant.
Yeah, Chaz is a good friend.
He's absolutely brilliant.
You know, Chaz is a Bronx guy. Chaz started out with a doo-wop group called Razzmatazz, and he was
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. He knows the stuff. As a matter of fact, I was on Don K. Reed's doo-wop shop the same night with my Harmony Street group, the same night that Butch Barbella and Chaz came up to hawk the movie A Bronx Tale before it even came out. And we were talking about it, you know, upstairs, you know, and and, you know, what a brilliant thing. But he's been doing it now for a couple of decades.
Oh, yeah. He told me, though, we went to see him after the show, meaning, you know, Chaz Pimenteri.
Right.
He said, Bobby, he said, they're doing this in Japan. They're doing it in France. They're doing it in Italy. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, how the hell do they get streetwise?
Smart.
You know, how do they get streetwise in Italy and France? You know? Germany, you know, for guys,
I went to see, I had moved down to Florida, but I still have my house in Danbury, Connecticut, and I was divorced, you know, the whole thing. I lost my mother, my father, my brother, went through a big divorce, quit my day job, quit my group, Harmony Street, whatever, in the year 2000 and moved to Florida. Like all in one fell swoop. I mean, it was like bang, 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 life experience stuff, you know, which happens. But I went back up there to see Butch Barbella, you know, who put the music together for A Bronx Tale, and Chaz and Jeannie were there. And I drove from my house in Danbury with my Corvette at that time, and I figured I was going to go put gas and then go over to the club. So, true story, I get into the gas station, I pump the gas, and I forgot my wallet. So I'm standing there with the pump in my hand. I had just pumped like $25 worth of gas. And I call the club on my cell phone, and I say, can I speak to Butch? And they said, no, he's on stage. And then I said, well, I know Chaz is there. Can I speak to Chaz? And I says, yeah, it's Mike Miller. I says, you know, I'm down the block at a gas station, and I forgot my wallet and whatever. He says, hey, no problem, man. He drove down. He was driving a Cadillac. A Cadillac Eldorado. He gets out of his car and he goes over to the gas station attendant, and he goes to give him cash, and the guy looks up and goes, oh my God, it's Sonny.
Yeah.
And almost.
Right.
I mean, and I'm saying you couldn't make this stuff up.
The guy absolutely.
And he says, and then I ran home and I got him the money, and I can't, you know, but whatever, but nice thing to do, but that whole freeze frame was like, forget it.
Oh, you know? for sure. Absolutely, yeah. That's a great story.
The water trough at 9th and Dickinson Street.
You
said, if you drink the water, you become a singer? Is that true?
Yeah, they say, how come, you know, so many singers, you know, came out of, you know, South Philadelphia?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there's no answer.
Right.
So I made up a story. I said, there was a water trough. Knife and Dickinson. I said, if you drank out of it, you became a singer. If you put your feet in it, you became a dancer. If you drank and you put your feet, you became a singer and a dancer. I said, well, who the hell knows why so many people came out of South Philadelphia.
No.
You know, I don't know.
And they're still coming. I mean, Philly Cuz is a friend of mine. Frank LaFaro is a friend of mine. I know all the Philly guys, you know.
I really do. I'll tell you, it's a great town. It really is. That's one of the reasons I never moved out to the West Coast.
First of all,
I'm a big sports fan. You know, I would die if I couldn't see an Eagles game, a Flyers, a Sixers, a Phillies game. I'd go out of my mind.
So you're not moving to Boca anytime soon, huh?
I don't think so.
Yeah. No. Well, you know, the weather is nice. Now, now that we know each other so well, I was going to ask you, do you know the difference between a snowman and a snowwoman?
No, I don't.
Okay. Remember who told you this? It's snowballs. Now, I can say that because it's my show.
Okay, that's fine. I like that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You can use it. The wall that's crumbling, that has the brick wall that has Avalon and Joey Bishop and Eddie Fisher and all my heroes, was that ever repaired?
No, to this day, I don't think it's been repaired. And I think what they're doing is they're building, like, either apartments or condos there.
Yes, nice.
And now they're thinking of moving that particular mural and redoing it, you know, somewhere else in South Philadelphia. But, no, it's kind of disheveled. It's kind of like falling apart right now.
Yeah,
that was right across the street. That's right across the street from one of Philly's, you know, mainstays, and that was Pat Steaks.
Right. Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, right across from Pat's, you know, Cheese Steaks, you know.
You know, the Beatles.
I basically went over for a command performance with Ann Margaret for Bye Bye Birdie.
Ah.
And while there, I recorded with Tony Hatch where Forget Him, you know, was recorded. And then I was on tour with a girl by the name of Helen Shapiro, who's a marvelous singer, you know, from the UK. And we did like a 2-week tour, and we traveled on a bus to different cities in the UK, Liverpool, Blackpool, Walthamstow, you know, all over the joint. And there was a car in front of us. And for some reason or another, Helen Shapiro said, "They're the Beatles."
Ah.
Well, you know, and I, me and my drummer at the time was Carl Mottola.
Right.
And we started looking around the bus for cockroaches. We didn't know who, you know, in Italian we call them chimages, you know.
Right.
She said the Beatles, you know, we're looking for bugs in the bus, you know. Nobody knew the Beatles back in 63.
Right.
Long story short, the car in front of us stops. The four of them get off the car, they come on the bus.
Huh.
And they were the original four guys, you know, the original Beatles.
Wow.
And they knew me.
Ah.
You know, they knew who I was, you know, Bobby Rydell.
Right.
And I met the four of them, shook hands, and they went on their way, and we went on our way, you know. And to this day, you know, when I got back home, like, you know, from Europe, 6 months later, they were on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Right.
And I looked at them, I said, "Jesus," I said, "I met those guys.
They look familiar."
I met those guys, you know? And to this day, I could kick myself in the ass that what a great picture that would have been back in the before they became what they became, you know, just to have a picture with those four guys on a bus somewhere in the middle of England.
Yeah.
You know? Jesus.
I read a story about, you know, the from She Loves You. They said they got from, you know, We Got Love. Is that hype?
From what I understand, Paul McCartney, in his, whether it's a biography or whatever, he mentions me about we got from Bobby Rydell. You know, which is nice. That's a nice little tribute as well.
Absolutely. Bobby, what would you say to fans that loved you and adored you all those years ago when you first started recording and stayed with you all through the movies, all through the standard years, and are still Bobby Rydell fans to this day? Many of those who are going to come out and see you when you're here in Southern Florida at FAU. What would you say to those people?
Well, you know, God bless them all. You know, if it wasn't for those, you know, for those fans, you know, there would be no career. And I mean, they're still there. God bless them, you know, from 17 years old up until like 74, you know, they're there and they're there strong. And they're just marvelous. All of these years to be so loyal and so true.
The fans really are going to embrace you, Bobby. I mean, I can promise you that. And I'll be there with Paulette. And, of course, you know, afterwards we'll jump back and say hello.
Absolutely.
And, Bobby, it's really been my pleasure talking to you and getting to know so much more about you. And I'm really looking forward to seeing you March 19th at FAU along with my wife, Paulette. It's Bobby Rydell. It's the one and only, not a teen idol, not a pop icon, but at the top of it all, a survivor. And I'm so glad that you're feeling well and you're out there singing and making people feel great. It's just been my pleasure, and I want you to have a great week, and I'll see you on the 19th.
My pleasure, Mike. Thank you ever so much.
Thanks.
Our special guest star tonight has just returned from a phenomenally successful tour of Japan. And this is his first appearance on American television since then. And I think that combined along with the fact that he's one of the nicest guys, one of the hardest workingest guys we've had on the show in a long time, calls for a real warm first-class shindig welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Bobby Rydell.
I want your love so much. Your lips, your arms, your touch, baby, all the time. All I want. By 12, we kiss again. Even in my dreams, all I want. If I have you, I have everything. You are my one desire. Nothing can cool this fire. Till the end of time. Thank you.
open up your heart. Recall how it used to be. Remember all the love we found on Harmony Street. Open up your heart. Recall how it used to be.